Pastor Rick asked me to teach you how to pray. And we get a lot of inspiration. Sometimes we need some information. Isn't that right? Just some, like, how to, because I think the things of God are pretty practical, actually. But without intentionality, you just don't get them. It's really a lot like working out. And, working out requires patterns. That's kind of what I'm teaching you on tonight, is that prayer sometimes requires patterns. It does better that way. We all do better with systems. We sustain things longer. And a couple of years ago, I started trying to work out at a gym. And I learned something about a gym. And first of all, that angels don't pick me up out of the bed and get me there. Have you learned that? The other thing I learned is the most difficult machine in the health club. Do you know what it is? It's the front door. That thing is really difficult to push open. It really is. So prayer is, it's a discipline, and we try to motivate ourselves to do that here at the first of the year. We really try to, press in and go after God, but it's like the health club. They say that I think about 1 out of 9 people is the statistic I've heard that pay for a gym membership ever go past the first month, and yet they committed for $500 or whatever. I don't do that. You get those types of motivations sometime, but what I want to build in you tonight is I want to build in you a confidence in prayer, that you can pray. You can be effective in prayer, and it can become a sustainable part of your life that causes you to grow. Now, I've been reading the Bible now. I read the Bible all the way through many years, but 89 was my first time. I taught the whole church the entire Bible 1 year, 1990. And so I've been reading through every year, 28 years. I got to Revelation 22, New Year's Eve. Awesome. It's a great feeling. Get a one-year Bible. You'll do that too this year. But prayer is different. People just sort of, where do I start? What time do I do it? Is anybody listening? What do I do? So I'm really going to be very practical and tell you that I have 4 patterns of prayer that I have followed. And I'll just give you a little short history. Back when I started pastoring the church, I did not know what I was doing. Still don't, but very, very desperate for God. And I learned about the Lord's Prayer, which I'm going to teach you that first. And then, and that being a topical application of it, not just saying the Lord's Prayer over and over and over again. I did that for about maybe 10 years. And then I met Dr. Cho, and Dr. Cho taught me about tabernacle prayer over in Korea. He has that little tiny church over there, 750,000 members, largest church in the world. And he has taught all of them tabernacle prayer. They do that all for many, many years. And I did that for maybe 20 years. Then I learned the prayer of Jabez, back when that book came out. How many of you have heard of the prayer of Jabez? Anybody? Okay, great. Love it. Absolutely love it. If you haven't ever read that little book, it's a tiny book, but it will transform your life. And then 2 years ago, the Lord gave me the 4th little pattern I'm going to teach you tonight, and that's a Trinity prayer of talking to each of the 3 members of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, having a relationship with them around a central theme. There's a scripture for that. And that's my current way of prayer. I do that. Sometimes I change it up. I'll pray different ways, different days or different times. But I got me a little arsenal of systems. Now, I walk. How many of you walk for your exercise? Raise up your hand. Okay, 3 people. That's awesome. I'm really glad. Well, I do, and I'm kind of between a walk and a run, but I live on a one-way street, just dead end, and so it's a track, and I know my track, man. I walk 2.5 miles, so I know exactly where I turn around. I know, and I can listen to podcasts. I do all kind of stuff because I'm on my track, and it's just so much easier. Everything that's good for you in a routine should be placed into a system. Now, for me, I like to wake up early and pray before Melanie gets up, and the Lord does that. I never set an alarm. He just kind of wakes me up, and I'm wide awake, and then I find my place of prayer. A lot of times, Melanie wakes up the same time I do, so pretty much most of the time, we find our way to the coffee pot first. How many of you feel like you need a little coffee before you're actually saved? Right? I mean, you can, particularly if it's community coffee, that's even better. But I'm going to make my way to the coffee pot, and then I'm going to have about an hour talk with Melanie. 45 minutes to an hour every morning. We just interface. That's our first thing in life. And then we always eat a bowl of oatmeal, the same bowl, same oatmeal. Just, you know, we're all creatures of habit. And then I read my readings, you know, about 15 minutes. I read my Bible. Then I go take my walk. It's 30 minutes. And then I take a shower. And if I didn't do my prayer early, I do it after that. So it's about 6, 7, 8 things I do in the morning. Maybe your life is not like that. You may have a delivery route at 4 in the morning. You have to leave. Prayer is very flexible. You know, God's not, he's not timing you. He's not seeing if you're going to be every day. He's not, get all of those things out of your mind that really God wants a relationship with you. Enoch, it says, walked with God, and God was conversant. It means in Hebrew to walk up and down and be conversant. God wants to hang out with you. God made you. He knows you. He loves you. And he really wants to relate to you. In fact, I sometimes actually feel he wakes me up in the morning like he's there. And he's saying, come on, I'm ready. I want to talk. It's really a wonderful thing after you get into this for a long time. So let me go into these sort of easy. And I'm going to tell you, first of all, I gave you an outline. I gave you a handout, which is kind of elaborate. That's for Jedi warrior prayers, okay? That if you want a whole lot about each of these four prayers, it's kind of in there. But if you just want the basic model, you just want the, you know, I need the 10-minute version, you can do that. So let's start with the Lord's Prayer. A lot of you maybe were raised in a environment, spiritual environment, where you prayed the Lord's Prayer over and over and over and over again. I get that. I'm sure it's all good. But the Lord taught topically. Rabbis in the Jewish culture taught topically. So it's my feeling that when he taught us the Lord's Prayer, which we've always heard, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, the earth as it is in heaven, we can all say it over and over. But I think each sentence should be said real slow. And it becomes topical. Now you've changed gears, and it goes up in intensity by 10 times at least. So I like to start off with the idea of adoration. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Okay, we just blow through that. But I started thinking about, okay, what is God's name? What's so wonderful about God's name? And Moses, you know, on the mountain, he met God and he said, tell me, show me your glory and call your name. And God called his name to Moses. And here's what it is. You ever wonder what God's name is? God called his own name. He said, here's my name. The Lord God, full of compassion and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness and tender mercy, forgiving iniquity to thousands of people. That's his name. And I thought, well, that's really cool. So I thought, okay, God's telling me he's good. He's kind. He's loving. And then I found in Psalm 103, it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me, bless his holy name, and forget not all his benefits. So I thought, okay, what is his name? It says he forgives all your iniquities, his sin. That's a name. He's a forgiver. That, in fact, in Hebrew, that's one of his names, God who forgives. Oh, okay. And then another name right after it, it says he heals all your sicknesses. I'm still in Psalm 103. And that's a name, Jehovah Rapha. I'm the Lord who heals you. That's a name in Scripture. And the third benefit, he said, is I redeem your life from destruction. That's Jehovah Nissi, the Lord my protector. That's wonderful. And then he says, I crown you with loving kindness and tender mercies. In other words, I'm there with you. That's Jehovah Shammah. That's the Lord is with me. That's his name. The Lord is with you. And the last thing he says is, I will satisfy your mouth with good things. That's Jehovah Jireh. You've heard that name. The Lord my provider. So what I do when I start that prayer, the Lord's Prayer, I say, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. And I just go through those five names. I wrote them down on your page. I just go through those names. And I think about all of the wonderful things he does for me. Forgives my sins. He heals my diseases. I'm standing up here talking to you tonight. I'm healed. He redeems me from destruction. He protects me where I go. He crowns me with love. His love is on my head, and he satisfies my mouth. He's giving me cars, giving me clothes, giving me a remote control, giving me an iPad. I thank him for all the stuff that the Lord has done for me. Well, see, I ain't even past the first sentence of the Lord's Prayer, and I'm already getting blessed. How many of you getting blessed already? We just in the first sentence. Now, I'm talking about drilling down. And then we move to thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Well, you can blow through that, or you can say his kingdom is his government in my life. My body, my mind, my spirit. I give you all of my life, Lord. My money, my career. I give you my family, my house, my cars. Your kingdom come. Your will be done is his purpose for my life. Lord, I obey you in everything you want me to do. His will, the leading of his spirit, directing me to do certain things. So every day I'm not only praising him for all of his benefits to me, but I'm surrendering to him for all he wants to do in my life. Now we see we've really made progress talking to God, but when you get to number three, give us this day our daily bread. Well, that's praying about your personal needs. I want to talk a minute about that. Because when you pray for your daily bread, your needs, you should be very specific. You know, Dr. Cho taught me a lot about prayer. And Dr. Cho was in Korea after the war. And he got saved. He was Buddhist. God healed him. Tuberculosis. He was saved. Did not know Jesus. A young girl witnessed to him, who he still does not know to this day who it was. She knocked on the door, witnessed him, led him to Christ, and left. He doesn't know who it was. And he was healed. She prayed for him, and he was healed. He became a pastor of the largest church in the world. And Dr. Cho, back in those days, he had no transportation, and he said, Lord, give me a bicycle. He prayed for a year for a bicycle. If you've read his book, you know this story. And nothing ever happened. And one day, he was praying, and the Lord said, what kind of bicycle? He said, well, I want an American bicycle that has big tires. He said, what color bicycle? I want a red bicycle. I want a basket on the front of it. He wrote down the description of what he wanted. Within 1 week, someone gave him that exact bicycle. And then he learned that specificity is important in prayer. When it says, give us this day our daily bread. You want Wholesome? You want Sunbeam? You want Big Dave's bread? What kind of bread do you want? They got about 30 different varieties. So I learned something, though. Specificity does not offend God. And it's kind of like Amazon. You know, you order something. Do you get it the next few minutes? Well, when the drones start working, you will. You'll get it in the next 5 minutes. But normally, you just bump, you hit order, and then you don't worry about it. You know it's on its way. That's a lot of what faith is. You don't see it coming, but you know it is coming. And then fourthly, he says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Now, here's what I learned to do, praying through the Lord's Prayer every day. I forgive in advance every person who's going to hurt me that day. And I travel on airplanes all over 110 flights a year. And, buddy, it's hair, teeth, and eyeballs on the airplanes now. It's getting serious out there, everybody. I mean, it's crazy. That overhead bin is a war. It's elbow wars. It's really nuts. People running to get on the plane. And so I just go ahead in advance and forgive anybody that blows their horn at me if I'm sitting at a red light. Or, you know, I just go ahead and say, now, Lord, whatever happens to me today, I forgive them. I even forgive people whose calling in life is to cause me problems. Do you have anybody like that? Aunt Brunhilde Huckelmeister, whoever it might be, I just go ahead and forgive her. And that's important, because that's how you should start your day relationally, is to just go ahead and ask the Lord to forgive them and forgive you. And finally, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That is spiritual warfare. I end the Lord's Prayer putting on the armor of God. Please learn that armor, that protection. Ephesians chapter 6 says it's a helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, girdle of truth. I don't like that word girdle. I don't wear a girdle, but it's a belt, you know, kind of like a weightlifter's belt. But that, yeah, I like that better. Shoes of peace, sword of the Spirit, which is the Bible, and a shield of faith. So every day, I just put that on. It's called the armor of light, and I put on the whole armor of God. Now, I just brought you through the Lord's Prayer. That's it. You start off praising Him for His names. You surrender to Him for His kingdom and His will in your life. You specifically pray for the things you need in your life, whatever they are, car, anything, daily bread. You forgive people, everybody that's hurt you in the past, anybody that would hurt you today, anybody in the future. You just go ahead and pray for your enemies even. And then you put on the armor of God. And as we say in Louisiana, booyah, you did it. Now see, that's not hard to me, but you gotta do it. It's like it's a health club, man. It's not joining the club, it's going. It's doing it. So I want to challenge you, maybe tomorrow, just do the first prayer. Do the Lord's Prayer tomorrow. Just go through that. If I can pray sometimes for an hour in just the Lord's Prayer. I've done it thousands of times. But if it takes you 5 minutes, 10 minutes, that's cool. You'll gradually, more and more, it'll mean more and more to you. You may do it on your way to work. Okay, whatever. Now we come to a second type of prayer, and this is the tabernacle prayer. So the Lord's Prayer was Jesus' pattern. That's how He taught His disciples to pray. Moses' pattern was a tabernacle. Now, I think somewhere back there, they have a schematic little drawing, I think, isn't that right? Of the tabernacle prayer. If you guys have that somewhere, boom. But you can see outer court, holy space, and holy of holies. You see the three big categories underneath. Outer court, holy place, holy of holies. So the outer court, if you go up to the little tabernacle drawing, you see that it contained an altar up in the top right-hand corner called the brazen altar. And then there was a little like a bird bath right on to the left of it. And that's called the laver. That's on the bottom right-hand corner. When you keep on moving in from right to left, you come up to this candlestick. See the candlestick down there on the bottom? That's a Jewish menorah. That they even put that still in their windows today. On the opposite side from the candlestick was that table and had 12 loaves of bread. That's the bottom left kind of thing. Then right before you got into the Holy of Holies was this thing called the altar of incense. You see that on the left? It's an altar about 18 inches square, 3 feet high. And then finally, if you were the high priest, you got to go into the Holy of Holies. And by the way, they put a rope around their leg. This is Jewish tradition. It's not in Scripture, but they put a rope around their leg because if the high priest went in that Holy of Holies without the proper attire or the proper sacrifice, he fell down dead. And he had bells on the bottom of his robe, and If the bells stop ringing, pull the brother out. He's gone. Real high occupational hazard there. But what does that show you? Look at me just a minute. What is that showing us? And Dr. Cho taught me this years ago. He said, what this shows you is God has a protocol. Let's act like all of you are priests. You say, I'm not a priest, man. That's the last thing. Oh, but you are. 1 Peter 2 says, we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. We're a priesthood. Every one of you are priests of the Lord because you have access to the Holy of Holies. When Jesus died on the cross, the veil came down. We can all go into the Holy of Holies now, everybody. Not just the high priest or the head gyrasticutus or whatever you want to call him. It's you. It's me. So therefore, we need to understand the protocol God was after. Evidently, the brazen altar is first up. What does the brazen altar represent? It represents the cross. Because that's where they sacrifice the blood. Why is it that people try to pray, they run straight into the Holy of Holies, read off a few specific needs they have, and say, cool, I'll be back, and they're gone for the day. But actually, that's not the protocol. Now, if you're honest with yourself, you see, God wants you to start your prayer time with the cross. Very interesting. Because when Jesus died on the cross, he shed his blood to redeem you from the curse. All curses in your life, when you know Jesus Christ, are broken. All of them. What happened at the cross? Well, it started at the whipping post. They whipped his body, and there the curse of sickness was broken over your life. Every morning when I pray the tabernacle prayer, I start off thanking God for health. Jesus, by his stripes, I have been healed. And then they put a crown on his head, and that's where the curse was broken over my mind. Whatever kinds of depression, whatever kinds of loneliness issues, whatever in your mind, confusion, manic depression, so much is there in our minds, and it's all broken by the power of the crown on his head. You believe that? Come on, say amen. And then he carried your cross up the hill as far as he could till they brought him and nailed him to it and dropped it in a hole, and he hung in the darkness for 6 hours. You know, I'm gonna share my heart with you now. I go to the cross every day. I find that the cross, when I walk with him up that hill and I watch them nail him and I watch them put him in that hole, and every day I go to the cross and I thank him. He broke the curse over my spirit. He broke it over my body, then my mind. But thank God the curse is broken over my spirit, brothers and sisters. I have no guilt anymore. I have no shame of my past. I have no spot, no wrinkle. I have nothing at all in my life between me and God. I can approach him without fear, without inferiority, without condemnation, without guilt, without shame. I just walk in like one of my kids walks into the kitchen and opens the cupboard and pulls out some graham crackers and starts eating. Now, I want to tell you something. You know why you're afraid of God? You're afraid to pray? It's knowledge. Knowledge sets you free. You will know the truth. The truth will set you free. Once you know that God intends for you to come first to the cross and receive total forgiveness of every sin, all of that, because you can't pray effectively if you're feeling guilty. That's why he put it first. So I just start there. I did it this afternoon. I prayed through this afternoon. Loved it. Absolutely. I just thought about how much he's blessed me at the cross. But then I come to the laver. That's the bird bath. I'm using that sort of just so you know what it looked like. Just a little stand. And it had mirrors built into the bowl. They made the bowl out of mirrors. The women's mirrors, they contributed, made it like a mirror. So when the priest, first he'd offer the blood, whatever sacrifice, to cover his sin and to cover the people. Then he would look into the bowl, and that was to see the impurities in himself. Because he couldn't see. You can't see what's wrong with you. If your hair's sticking out over here, you can't tell till you look in a mirror. And that's a second very important part of prayer. And that's called sanctification. First is justification. The cross is where I was forgiven totally. But the laver is where I check my heart to be sure nothing has come in between me and God. So I'm going to check my heart right there at that laver. I'm going to say, Lord, have I allowed, like the Ten Commandments, you shall have no other gods before me. Have I begun to idolize something besides you? The cross is where I see the laver is where I see if anything has eclipsed God in my life. I was in Colorado when the eclipse happened last July. We got the little goggles, glasses, whatever you call them. I don't know if you saw it here in Little Rock, but it was amazing in Denver. It passed right over where we were. And we were all ready when it happened. And it was really a big letdown, to be honest. It's real tiny, and you don't, you can't really tell anything. But people had traveled from everywhere in the world to be right there where we were. We just happened to be on vacation. I was preaching up there, and I put the goggles on. I'm looking around. But an eclipse is an interesting thing. Something passes between you and the sun, and it blocks it. When I come to the laver every day, I ask the Lord, has anything eclipsed your glory in my life? Is it possessions? Is it an attitude? Jesus said in the Ten Commandments, you shall not lie. Have I deceived? Am I being deceptive to anyone? Am I bitter? You said you should not kill, but if you hate your brother, you've murdered him already in your heart. Jesus said, Lord, do I hate somebody? Do I have anything in my heart against anybody? So that's what I'm doing. I'm not saying I'm not right with God, but I just want to double check every day. It's a wonderful time to do that. Now I'm checking myself. That's all I'm doing. Maybe some days I come look in the laver. All good. All good. But I check myself every day. That's how you stay right with God. And then I'm coming into the little inner place called the holy place, and I'm going to go to the candlestick next. This is a protocol the priest did. He offered the sacrifice. He checked himself in the laver, and then he went inside, and there was this candlestick, and it never stopped burning. It always burned. They changed the oil continually. And the Bible says in the book of Revelation, there's a lampstand in heaven. When you get to heaven, you're going to see that lampstand. It's the seven spirits of God, Revelation chapter 4. Well, that tells me I need to walk over to that candlestick and I need to have a relationship, a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. Now, I taught this afternoon about an hour about the Holy Spirit and what that candlestick means. You can get a tape of that if you want. I'm sure that's available. I'm not going to go extensively into that. But listen, let me tell you that every time I pray this prayer, I come to the Holy Spirit. I ask Him to let the fruit of the Spirit work in me, the gifts of the Spirit, all of that. So that's spend some time talking to the Holy Spirit. I'm going to go right across, and I'm going to go to that table of showbread. I love this one. Bread is Scripture. It's the Word of God. Now, in my prayer, I'm going to ask the Lord to speak to me this day out of the Bible. Every day, I get a word from the Lord. You need that too. You don't just read the Bible to burn through it like Roadrunner. That's not the point. The point is to get something that feeds your soul. I'd rather read three verses that I get something out of that takes me through the day than burn through 40 chapters. I have friends that read the entire Bible every month. And I think, well, that's awesome. You know, if I'm going from Baton Rouge to Los Angeles, I can get there in a plane. Or I can drive in my car. Or I can ride a bike. Or I can walk. And you know, if you go on a plane, you get there quicker, but you're not going to really see a whole lot between Baton Rouge and California. But if I walk, I'm going to see everything. Walk through the Bible. Ask the Lord every day to give you something. Just, Lord, just a word. I just need, and here's what I learned. If I read systematically, every day the Spirit will select a verse that will help me through the problems of that day. Yeah, I stop by that table and I say, Lord, let me have a relationship with your word. Now we come to the best thing this afternoon when I prayed it, the altar of incense. That was when the priest took a handful of really precious incense and he walked up to that little thing. It's about 3 feet high and he had coals burning on the top, kind of like a barbecue grill type thing. And he took that handful of incense and he dropped it, you know, both of his hands, he dropped it on the coals. And the incense started burning, and it made a cloud. Oh, it smelled great. It just started filling the whole room with a fabulous, fabulous fragrance. And God wanted it. You know, the Bible says in heaven, God smells the incense of the prayers of His people. He says, for the incense is the prayers of the saints. Read it in the book of Revelation. And what the Lord showed me about this altar of incense, and again, I don't mean to go too deep into each one of these. I'm just explaining to you. That's where I love to worship God. I just drop some incense on there, and I lift my hands like in the hotel today, and I just start singing to the Lord. Whatever. Any song that comes to my heart, I just start singing and worshiping the Lord. And that makes the way for the final part of prayer, the ark. And you see the ark on the left? That's a, under the angels is a mercy seat, it's called. And the high priest would sprinkle the blood once a year and atone for the whole nation. When I come to the ark, now I'm really doing business with God. I pray for the president. Every day. The Bible says pray for kings and those in authority. I don't care if they're Democrat, Republican. It doesn't matter to me. If they got the nuclear football, I'm going to pray for them. That's right. Because you don't, I mean, hey, they're carrying your destinies in their hands. And so I pray for our governor. I pray for our mayor. Pray for our pastor. And this is, the Holy of Holies is where you specifically pray. I do sort of, actually, I start with my family, my wife. I pray for all my kids, all my 13 grandkids. That takes about 45 minutes right there. I go outward to my church, to my city, to my state, to the nation, and then I pray all over the world for the team of Surge. We plant churches all over the world, and I have 14 guys that do that, and more being added now, and I pray by name for them every day. So that's my prayer of the tabernacle. And you can do that in 5 minutes. You really can. In fact, if you're about to have a car wreck, don't stop at the brazen altar. Get in that Holy of Holies as fast as you can. In fact, if somebody's pulling out in front of you and you're about to die, just yell, Jesus! Come on. So I'm not saying that you have to go through this protocol every time. But I'm telling you, if you'd like to, Jesus asked his disciples, could you not watch with me 1 hour? So that tells me that I ought to be able to do that. But sometimes it's 10 minutes, 15 minutes. It just depends on how much time I have. But I just enjoy it. Okay, here's number three. And I'm doing the time they gave me. Are y'all still here? Tell me y'all still here. Y'all came to study how to pray. Okay, so we got two behind us. Now we're going to move to a couple that are a whole lot easier. Okay, whole lot easier. Tell your neighbor, it's going to get easier from here, right? Okay, here's the one that I really have been praying the last 2 years, and I love it. The Lord taught it to me. It's the last verse of 2 Corinthians 13. It's the very last verse. If you study 1 and 2 Corinthians, the books, there are a whole lot of correction. Paul had to correct the daylights out of the Corinthians, man. Those people were just a hot mess. That's really what they were. They were fighting. They were fussing. They had a guy in the church that was sleeping with his father's wife and all this. I mean, Paul had to correct all kind of mess. And finally, he comes to the last verse of the whole two books. And he says these words. Now may the love of God the Father, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. That's how I know Paul was a Southerner. Because he said, you all. And when I read that verse, the Lord said, that's the Trinity prayer. It's a prayer at the end of 2 Corinthians. Now, I'm going to just talk to you out of my heart. I know we got notes down there on the page. Don't worry about all that. Just look up here at me. I'm going to tell you how you do the Trinity prayer. Here's how I do it. I start with the love of God the Father. God told me I want to have a relationship with you in all three of my persons. Now, you know, God is a unique being. He's three, but he's one. He's one God in three persons. And all three of them are a different aspect of God's personality. A father is different from a son in aspect of personality. And so when we come to God the Father, evidently, the one thing he wants you to get is that he loves you. That's all. You say, I don't know, I'm not so sure he loves me. He does. The Bible even says when he formed you in the womb, before he formed you in the womb, he knew you. When I watch one of my grandchildren sleep, I put my hand on their chest, I watch it rise and fall. The pleasure I have when little Aiden is laying there, that's God. He's a father. And for a lot of you, you don't know that. But he wants you to know that. Who's here that needs that right now? God loves you. In fact, the word for love in the Old Testament, hesed, it says his love fills the entire universe. It's not a little creek or a river or even an ocean. God's love is the size of the universe. And every now and then he can get a little spigot that he can give you a few drops of it. It's so massive. So I contemplate that every day. I go through the Psalm 103 benefits. But I'm just trying to figure out anything that shows me how much God loves me. Plain and simple. He's a father. He loves you. Get that right there. But you move to his grace. Because it says the grace of Jesus. There's something else God wants you to know about himself. He forgives you. We're simple now. This simple praying here. God says, I want you to know I love you. I'm your father. I love you. The love of God the Father, the magnificent love. But he said, I want you to know grace. Grace is love in action. God so loved the world, he saw the hot mess we were in our lives. We had totally polluted our lives, corrupted our relationships. Such a mess. Millions and billions of people, not only then in Palestine, but all the way through now, billions are alive now. And the war, the disease, the hatred, the strife, all of that. And God said to Jesus, I need you to go and redeem mankind. The Lord stood to his feet. Jesus was at the right hand of the Father, and he stood to his feet, and the Father said, it's now. And he left all that glory of heaven and slipped into the womb of a little girl, just two cells big. The Holy Spirit placed a body in her, and 9 months later, Jesus was born. He's the Word. He created the universe. He's the Word. But the Word became flesh, and that's grace. And every day I walk with Jesus through his childhood, his baptism, his temptation, his healing ministry, raising the dead, feeding the multitudes. I say, thank you for your grace. Thank you for all you did. I walk with him to the Jerusalem entrance, to Gethsemane. I walk with him all the way to the cross. And by the way, I remember I'm crucified too. I'm buried with him. I'm resurrected with him. And now I'm seated with him in heavenly places. That's all in Scripture. That's the grace of Jesus. But let's come to the last one, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Jesus prayed the Father, and the Father sent the Holy Spirit so that you would have a person to walk with you through every problem. The Father loves you. Jesus forgave you, but the Spirit is with you. The fellowship. What is fellowship? It's fellows in the same ship. That's what that is. The Holy Ghost lives in me, and I talk to him during the day. Holy Spirit, lead me here. Help me to find a parking place in this big old parking lot. I talk to him all the time. We're friends. Now that's a simple prayer. That's the Trinity prayer. I pray that every day. The last prayer I pray is the prayer of Jabez. Jabez's name means pain. How would you like it if your mama named you Pain? Pain, come over here. And he lived with such pain that he developed a prayer that helped him to walk through his pain. And here was his prayer. You remember it from 2 Chronicles. He first prayed, Lord, that you would bless me indeed. He was broke as a joke. He had all kinds of problems in his financial life. He said, God, I'm praying that you would bless me. How many of you would love God to financially bless you this year? Come on, raise it up. You need a big time. I'm talking about wave at me if you need a major financial miracle, right? That's about 90% of us in here. We need a financial breakthrough. Well, it's okay to pray, bless me. Because I figured out you can't be a blessing to anybody else until you've already been blessed yourself. If you don't have enough to pay your own bills, you're not going to be a blessing to anybody else. So it's okay to just go ahead and say, bless me indeed. The second thing he prayed was about his influence. He said, enlarge my territory or my influence. God not only wants to bless you, God wants to enlarge the people that you affect. I have some really, really big goals inside my heart. I'm not retiring. I mean, preach 150 times a year. I'm tired, but I ain't retired. There's too much to do. Too many lost people to hear the name of Jesus. So I say, Lord, enlarge my influence. It's okay for you to pray that. I bet some of you need a promotion in your job. You need more influence in life. Because you want to affect more people. The third thing that he prayed was not only that you would bless me and enlarge my territory, but let your hand be with me. Lord, I need to feel your presence. I need to feel it every day. Everywhere I go, every step I take, I need to feel your presence in my life, or I can't go. Moses even said, Lord, if you don't go with us across this desert, we ain't even going. We're not even going to try. If God's not with you, God's not helping you, you are not going to make it. And finally, this man of pain prayed this phrase. He says, and keep me from pain. Protection. Keep me from pain, Lord. Think of the things that can happen in your life that can cause intense pain. A divorce. Many of you have been through that. You know the pain that's there with that. Lord, keep me from pain. Losing a business, losing a child, losing a miscarriage. So many things. And he prayed, Lord, keep me from pain. So we've blessed him financially. We've enlarged his influence. We've saturated him with the presence of God. And we got this hedge built all the way around Jabez that the devil cannot get through. That's a pretty good prayer. So I don't know. We could pick 1, 2, 3, 4. We could pray the Lord's Prayer. We could do the Tabernacle Prayer. We could pray the Trinity Prayer. We could pray the Jabez Prayer. It doesn't matter, but let me tell you something. We're going to do something right now. And I like to back up. I'm finished preaching, by the way. The plane has landed, okay? You know what I had in my heart this afternoon for you? Because Pastor Rick just asked me to teach you how to pray. All I did was just tell you how I pray. I want to back up to that love of God the Father. That's where I want to back up. Because you can learn all kind of stuff about prayer. But if you don't really know that God wants to be with you, and God wants to have some time with you, and He just loves being with you. His eyes are on you while you're sleeping, and I believe he might even nudge you some mornings. He's wanting to be with you. You never thought of that, did you? Because you felt rejection your whole life. You can't imagine somebody that's so committed to you that they're even willing to forgive your failures. And even willing to put them all on their son to pay your debt. And then you can't imagine that there's a person who wants to have fellowship with you, the Holy Spirit. Now, I want you to close your eyes with me. Like I said, I'm finished preaching, but I'd like to minister to you with your eyes closed, you that are watching online, wherever you are. I'd like to ask you, if you will, just right there in your lap, if you like to do this, feel comfortable to do this, just put your hands, kind of turn them over in your lap, like you're receiving a gift, Okay? Lawyers tell you to open your hands when you're doing a deposition because it helps you to be receptive and you relax. You put your hands on your legs onto the table. That's what a lawyer tells you to do. Well, we'll just do that right now because we're not uptight with God. Father, I ask that across this room, your great love would begin to come. And Lord, that love that is a father for those that experience the rejection of a father, I pray now that your love would start overwhelming them. In my mind, I see the Lord, the Father, putting his arms around you like that prodigal son's father that ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. That's God. You say, well, I really haven't prayed that much. I don't know the Lord that well. That's not the point. He's looking out the window for you. He's longing to be with you. Let his love penetrate that sort of wall and barrier you have up in your heart. And let him soften your heart and tell you, I love you. I love you. I made you. I know everything about you. And I love you. Are you receiving that tonight? Receive the love of God the Father. In fact, he loves you enough to forgive you. He sent his son to pay for your sin debt. I want you to let Jesus' grace go all the way back to the beginning of your life. Whatever type of sin, whatever type of disgrace, whatever type of shame or inferiority or guilt that keeps you from praying, because you always think about your mistakes, I want you to let the blood of Jesus Christ, the cross, that brazen altar, I want him to cover it right now. Father, I thank you for the blood of Jesus cleansing people, causing sin to go as far as the east is from the west. Thank you now, Lord, the grace of Jesus Christ is forgiving and washing over them, Lord. I thank you the water of the laver is cleansing every spot, every little thing, every tiny thing that they're convicted about. Lord, let it all be washed clean, their conscience pure from this moment forward. Thank you, Lord. Just take a deep breath and let that blood of Jesus just wash it all away. It's gone. It's gone. I don't have sin in my life anymore. Because I get rid of it every day. If any's there, I admit it, I confess it, and I just walk in righteousness. Not cockiness, but righteousness. I know who I am in Christ because of grace. Let's do one final thing. Let's have some fellowship with the Holy Spirit. If you're here and you don't quite know what to do with a decision, in this 7 days, I want you to say, Holy Ghost, wake me up in the middle of the night. Put a pad by your desk, by your bed. Wake me up and tell me the answer to the problem that I have, to the difficulty I'm going through. Lord, Holy Spirit, talk to me when I least expect it. Let an inward voice give me an impression. Talk to me, Lord. I don't know what to do about this problem in my life. And here's what I want you to do. We're closing. I want you with your eyes closed. The Bible says that men should lift up holy hands without wrath or doubting. If you're a priest of the Lord, and you are, I want all of you to just lift up your holy hands. The priest would lift his hands and bless the people. You lift up your hands and blessing is going to come on you. The moment you lift up your hands, blessing is coming. And I'm going to speak a blessing over you. And I say the Lord bless you indeed. The prayer of Jabez. I bless you financially. In 2019, that it's going to be easy. You're going to work hard. But things are going to be much more productive because you're blessed. No curse is upon your finances. You are blessed. And then I say a blessing upon your influence, that you will get raises and bonuses and increases and inheritances and ideas and insights. And your influence is just going to begin to grow like Joseph's. His branches went over the wall. And that people are going to know your name because they'll look and say, man, that guy is blessed. That guy, everything he touches, there's faith. favor upon your life. I speak that over you. And then, Lord, I thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit, giving the presence of God upon each person here. Holy Spirit, let your presence come upon them like it did in the upper room when a fire sat on their head. And Lord, let them feel bold in the Lord, and let them feel strong in the Lord, and let them feel like God is with them in every battle of their life, Lord. They're already winners. They're more than conquerors. I thank you, Lord, for that. And then finally, I pray for your protection. Lord, I thank you, Holy Spirit, that there's a hedge of protection. There's an armor over them. I thank you, Lord God, the enemy cannot destroy them this year. He cannot destroy their business or their marriage. He cannot destroy their health or their finances. I speak the blessing of God. May the Lord protect you and deliver you from evil in Jesus' name. We thank you for it, Lord. While your hands are up, just go ahead and begin to thank God. Just begin to praise him and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I give you praise. I give you glory. I praise you. Come on, everybody, stand with us. And I want you to give the Lord just a great hand clap. He's so wonderful. Give him high praises tonight. Give him glory. Yes, Lord, we praise you. We worship your name. Hallelujah.